Yesterday I was up at my school for my children's running race. One of my daughters was in a running race. I think it was an 800 metre race or something. And that was a big enough event for Dad to go up to school if he was able to watch her run around the track. Because sport's part of Australian culture, isn't it? It's a pretty big part of Australian culture. Even if you yourself don't actually get involved in sport, you may watch it or you're still influenced by it in various ways. What I'd like you to do now is just to talk to the person beside you as to maybe a race that you've been in your life. So some type of race. Okay. Hopefully we've had time to talk to each other. How about you tell me now, what are some of the races that a group of uni students like yourself have been in? What were some of the races you've done? Come on, you're all talking. Say something. What are some of the races? So school swimming races that you didn't like, yeah. Okay, a race to get an assignment finished. Yeah, it could be. I heard the egg and spoon race. Was that over here?
No, the three-legged race.
The three-legged race? Yeah. Yeah, look, there are different races that we've gone in. Sounds like there wasn't a whole lot of races that people have gone in here. But we just recently had the Olympics, and I assume that most of us at some stage just sat down and watched a bit of the Olympics at least. Maybe you're an Olympics junkie and we're up, you know, 3 in the morning watching something. So, but we have this idea of the race, don't we? That there is the race that we may watch as a spectator or may get involved with as ourselves. And when we come to this part of the Bible, it actually talks about our life as a race. We see that there in verse 1 where it says, "Let us run the race marked out for us." It's there talking about our life as a race. And I think that that's an idea that is not just in the Bible, that idea. I think that is an idea that people are sort of aware of, that life is a race. Right? Life is an event. Life is sort of heading somewhere. Now, it may be for you that you've got a very clear direction of your race, the race of your life. So you've got a particular career that you're heading down. And it's a very clear direction for you. Say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and it's heading that way. But maybe it's a little more uncertain for you, and you're not actually sure where it's heading. And so you've got this feeling that, yeah, I'm running, I'm going somewhere, but I really don't know sort of where the race is. I'm not exactly sure if I'm supposed to be doing, you know, freestyle, or is it a 100-metre running race? You don't know if you're running or walking, but you feel that you're travelling in some direction. And I guess that's... You know, that's how some of us feel as well. Some of us may have a clear goal where we're running, others may not be really sure, and I guess there's grey areas all between there. Well, life is a race, life is a journey, and you are heading somewhere. You are heading somewhere. And as I've just pointed out, in this part of the Bible, it talks about the race that God has marked out for us. Because if you're a Christian, you're actually in a race. You're on a journey. You're on a direction to live for God. If you're not a Christian, well, the direction of your life is going to be heading in another way. But if you are a Christian, the direction that you've got is the direction of God. And you're not a spectator in this. You're not a spectator. I mean, it's great to be a spectator and watch things on the TV, isn't it? To see the athletes doing their thing, go, wow, look at that, and you can watch it, and go and eat another bowl of ice cream and sit down and do whatever. But with Christianity, it's not like that. You're not a spectator. If you are a Christian, you are in this race. You are not a spectator. Now, in God's race, it's a race, you may not be a Christian. You might be saying, well, I'm not on that race. I'm not doing this race. And so I need to address that, because this part of the Bible is talking about how Christians should run in their race. But I just need to talk about why we should be living for God and running His race anyway. There are three quick reasons which I'm not going to really explain much, but the first is that God made you. God is the one who made you, who brought you into being. You owe your life to Him, and so you should live for Him, you should run for Him. Secondly, God loves you. God has provided richly for you in this world. Even if you have suffered, our suffering is mixed with much blessing as well. And finally, God has sent Jesus for us. to die on the cross to pay for our sins, so that we can be washed clean of our guilt, so that we can stand before God and start a new life. So that's why we should be living to God, and that's sort of the basis of what's behind this command here to run the race for God. It's really the promises that we have in the gospel. Because when you learn the gospel, the message about Jesus, it's declaring all those things to you. And it's saying, Christian, run this race. And it invites those who aren't Christian to come and run this race. So let's have a look at it now. We're going to look at verse 1. We're going to work through the first three verses. So if you've got your that printout of the verses there, please just have a look at that. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let's look at the first part of that verse. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's referring there to what he's just been talking about in chapter 11, the previous chapter of this part of the Bible. And in there, he's been talking about famous people in the Bible like Abraham, Daniel, David, whole of these famous characters from the first part of the Bible. And he's referring to how they believed in God, how they ran the race, how they held on to their hope in God, even in the face of adversity or whatever it was. And that now that Jesus has come, you need to run this race. And you want to look back at them and say, they waited, they persevered, and they're the witnesses who are now watching me as I'm now going to live for God. So that's what he's talking about when he says this cloud of witnesses. He's referring to those Old Testament people, the people who the saints who were before Jesus. And he tells them how to run this race. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders. This is the first way that you as a Christian run the race. You've got to throw off what hinders. Now, what hinders you may not actually be sinful. He's going to talk about sin in a moment. But there are some things that can hinder us running the Christian life, living a life for God. They're not necessarily wrong, but they can just hinder us. For instance, I enjoy sitting down watching a good movie. I've got a few that I'd like to go down and borrow. I haven't had time yet, but I like doing it. I think it's a great way to relax and be entertained. But of course, you can spend too much time watching TV, can't you? I know it's a problem for young kids where parents use the TV as a babysitter and the kids are watching, you know, 3-4 hours of TV a day. And that may be easy for the parents, but you know, it's not how you want to be running as a Christian, to be spending your time like that. Or it might be playing video games. Video games, great entertainment, but how much time should we be spending on it? It can even be the same with reading books. You know, reading's a good thing, but if you're just spending all your time reading your favourite novels all the time, and you're actually not reading the Bible, you don't really know the Bible, you're not working hard at understanding the Bible, but you know, you read books this thick. You've got stacks of these books this thick that you've read, but you haven't finished the Bible, because, well, I just haven't. Now, I'm not saying don't read those books, but I'm saying, you know, like, it can hinder us from really getting into the Word of God, and we can be spending time on things that we shouldn't be doing. Just hobbies, which are good things that God has given us, but that we can just be spending too much time with. It may be our career, that our career has shaped our lives in such a way. You know, we're at uni, we've got our careers before us, and so our career becomes the goal that we're running for. And so we won't go to this, we won't go to youth group, we won't do this, we make all these decisions for the sake of the career. Now, you need a career, you need to work. The Bible says if a man does not work, he shall not eat. So you can't be a lazy Christian, you've got to work. But at the same time, our career mustn't be what we're running for. We've got to run for God. We've got to run following Jesus. Our career's got to fit in to our life for God, not the other way around. I want to ask you, are you running well? How's your Christian life? How is your life for God? Are you hindered? When I was watching the Olympics, I was watching the cycling, being a bit of a cyclist myself, and I was noticing the cyclists, how they don't want to be hindered at all. So they have the Slipstream helmet. You've seen those helmets they have? They have the Slipstream clothing. You know, it's like as shiny and slippery as possible. They have a Slipstream bike. And then they come along, and when they want to grab a drink, they don't carry a drink bottle because that'd be too much weight. That'd hinder them. They sort of race past a table, just grab some bottle that's sort of there. They grab it, they squeeze it, it goes in their mouth, and they just chuck it away, just chucks off to the side because they don't want anything to hinder them. You've seen the athletes do that type of thing, haven't you? Now, that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, don't let things hinder you, because living for God is so great. It's the best thing in your life. Don't let anything hinder you. And so, you know, I just want us to all reflect on, are we like those cyclists, or are we more like a cyclist in a race, you know, with all the packs everywhere and carrying some big stuffed toy, you know, like, you know, when you see those people with the bike, so everything chockers on their bike. And we've got heaps, you know, it may be that we've got lots of things in our lives hindering us in the way that we're using our time, and that we're not actually using it for God. Well, that's what he says there. Don't let anything hinder you in this race. But then he talks about, he refers to sin now, and this seems to be sin, which is obviously different to the things that aren't wrong in themselves, but this sin now actually is wrong. And he says, get rid of what hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, as I said, when he talks about the sin here, this is actually what's wrong and that you shouldn't be doing anyway. Now, the Bible is actually quite clear on what sin is. Let me just read to you a bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, when you're reading through the Bible, you come across things like that, where it spells out sin very clearly for us. And this is actually why I want to encourage you to know what the Bible says. You're at uni here studying, you can easily know what the Bible says if you put some time into to reading it. Now, this is what we do at UFC. We come around the Word of God. We actually work our way through whole books of the Bible. So we've done all of Matthew, all of Galatians, all of Revelation, a whole lot of books. We've just gone from one verse to the end, worked our way through so that we can see that you can understand it and just to hear what God's got to say to us. That's what we do here, but that's what you need to be doing. Right? We need to be reading the Word of God, finding out what it's saying so that sin doesn't entangle us. We shouldn't be editing what the Bible says. When we read a part of the Bible and think, well, I don't like that, you know, we mustn't just say, well, I don't like it, therefore I'm going to edit it out. Instead, what we need to do is say, I don't like that, I'm going to struggle before God with that. Right? If you don't like it, then that's where you're at. And I'm not trying to say, you know, don't feel that way. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at. But respond to it rightly. Struggle. Pray to God about it. Talk to someone about it and say, look, I don't like this, and God, please help me to understand this, because whatever it is. But don't go editing it out, because if we do, we're going to get entangled by sin. It was interesting. We had someone talk about their race that they were in was a three-legged race. I remember being in three-legged races at school. They were good fun, you know. You got the person beside you, and you tie their left leg to your right leg, and it's all tied together, and there's a whole lot of you all in a line, and then they say go, and people run, and of course the legs get out of sequence, don't they? And then because you're sort of tangled up to this person, you know, people fall over, and it's a good bit of fun, you know, and people laugh. And it's always good, you know, when you see your teacher or someone tied up like that falling over, that sort of adds to the humour of it all. Now, it might be fun to have that type of entanglement and falling over in a three-legged race, but I tell you, it is not fun, it is not funny when a Christian is entangled in sin like that. That's not funny. Three-legged race, yeah, that's funny. Being entangled with sin as a Christian is not funny, because it stops you running your race for God. And I think all of us as Christians would know this, that when we're sinning, when we've got unrepentant sin in our life, when we're not turning away from sin, but in fact we're entertaining sin, that we know that it makes us sick as Christians. It makes us feel terrible. It makes us stop running the way we should. I want to say, if there's a sin you need to repent of, there's a particular offence that you're doing that you know is wrong, then please deal with it soon. Just whatever it is, turn your computer off, put the books away, stop God. Like whatever it is, deal with it, because it's going to stop you running the Christian race. And the Christian race is the best race to run. It is the best way to live. I'm not saying it's not a struggle, but it proves itself in the long term to be the best way to live. They're the two things that he tells us about running the race there. I just want to add a third one here, and I want to call this the gospel according to uni, because uni actually offers to us another race. There are certain promises that uni can, for some people, be offering. For instance, the university offers a particular promise that if you come to university, get your degree, you'll be set up to have a good life. You'll get what you need. And so the university can promise these things to you. It can change your life for you. We see that in the ads that are on the TV. Now, in many ways it can, but it's actually God who changes our life. It's God who provides what we need. And so we mustn't go thinking that we've got to be following the university and what it's thinking here. It's God who provides the university for us. Now, in the uni, there's different ideas that you may well be confronted with. If you're just starting uni this year, in some of the subjects, Christianity will be dealt with harshly. You mustn't think that they're all going to be teaching you Christianity in the courses here at uni, because it's not the case. So, for some of the science lecturers, they have great delight in taunting the Christians. And basically where they're coming from is that whatever is not subject to my scrutiny doesn't matter. That's the way they think. Whatever's not subject to my scrutiny, to my investigation, just don't have to worry about it. And so you see, God's not subject to us. A lot of people think that God is just subject to me and to my study. And if, you know, as I study him and can examine him, but God's not subject to you, you're subject to God. You've got to get the right way around things. And so science has its limits. Or there's the philosophy department, where human reason and logic is seen as the defining principles. Or it may be that, or it may be that in the philosophy department, the conclusion is that we can't really know anything. So there'll be a range of philosophical positions you'll get presented before you there. And so you see, that's going to be a challenge to Christianity, because, you know, we can't really know, we can't be certain, and how can you say that? And you're going to have to think that through. We're actually going to have a seminar on that in a few weeks' time. In the history department, you may be studying, and sometimes Christianity is dealt with fairly, but other times significant parts of Christian history are left out, and only the negative side of Christianity is put forward. And you can be in a tutorial, and the negative side is the side that's just being put forward, and you're going to have to deal with that. I was speaking to a young girl who had just finished studying history, and she'd been studying the Crusades. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. Did they tell you what happened before the Crusades? And I said to her, can you tell me what happened before the Crusades? Did you cover that? She goes, no, we didn't do that. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because there was 450 years of continuous jihad and conquest against all the European Christians. And from my perspective, I just thought that should have been included in the course. Now, maybe she just hadn't picked it up. Maybe it is included now, I don't know. But there are things like that you're going to have to deal with. Issues there which can will be preaching a different gospel to you. There's sociology, where religion can be explained away as just a human function, or that Christianity is to blame for the problems in the world. There's the lifestyle that you can have at uni, where you're free to sin in ways you've never been free before. Particularly if you're living in a house with other people and your parents aren't around, even if your parents are around, you've got a degree of freedom that you haven't had before. I want to encourage you not to accept that message and not to run that race, but instead to run the race for God. To realise that those hurdles are going to be there, and to deal with them properly, and that's what we deal with at UFC. We come together to work through those issues, to find the answers to those things so that you can stand and can continue to run. Let's quickly finish up now with the last two verses. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So this is what he's saying to run the race. He says, if you want to run this race, if you're going to run the race for God, you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, what does it mean to fix your eyes on Jesus? Does it mean you make a statue of Jesus and you look at that statue? No, it's not that. It's got to do with consider him. See, fix your eyes on Jesus. Then verse 3, consider him. So you see, you've got to consider Jesus and how he lived And you do that through the Bible, through the accounts that we have of Jesus' life and what we call the Gospels. And again, this is why reading your scriptures and then praying about what you've been reading about, praying about what you're learning about Jesus is so important for the Christian life, because that's how we consider Christ. In fact, as I was preparing this talk, it helped me to understand the Gospels in a new way that I'd never seen before. I think what this part of the Bible really shows us is that Jesus was the first runner. Jesus was the first runner. He was running the race. And so when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, when you read those Gospels, what you're actually getting there is Jesus running the race set out before him. There's a whole lot of obstacles and difficulties that come his way, but he ran the race that was set out before him. He continued, as it says here, in the face of suffering and difficulty, he continued to run that. He accepted the shame. He accepted that the glory would come after the shame, and he wouldn't let anything stop him. And that's why you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because when you look to him, you're seeing the man who ran. You're seeing the supreme man who ran for God the whole of his life. And he's to be our example in that regard. I have a family tree that my auntie has done for me. And there's not many Christians in my family. I became a Christian when I was 19. And so I look back with interest to any relatives who were Christian. And there's this one man a couple of generations back called Daniel Green. And I'm keen to find out as much as I can about this Daniel Green. But it's interesting, isn't it, how our relatives have stories about them. We know them in different ways. So Uncle John, we know something about Uncle John. Uncle Mary, or Uncle Mary. Aunt Mary, we know. I won't push that one. He'd certainly have a story, wouldn't he? Our relatives have different stories and we know different things about them. When you grow up and you've, God willing, got nephews and nieces and children, what are they going to say about you? What type of parent are they going to see you as? What type of auntie or uncle are they going to see you as? Are they going to say, oh, that's Uncle Robert. He's a real believer in Jesus, and I know he's really serious about his faith. Or are they going to say, oh, that's Uncle Robert. I think he goes to church. I don't really know if he's a Christian or not. And I say, we're going to have different stories that we have, and the race that we run is going to be seen by those around us. And I guess what I'm hoping is that you'll be, living a good story, having a good story to those around you. But for my final point, I just want to say, in this race, it's interesting how he addresses it. He doesn't say, you are running, you individually. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off and let us run. He's talking about running as a group. For those of you who do run or cycle, you know that when you do it as a group, you go much better. You're just in there. If you're cycling, you can get in behind the lead cyclist in what's called draft, where he pushes the air out of the way and it's easier for you. And it's the same with running in a pack. You just encourage each other and you actually do better times when you're running as a group very often than just running by yourself, unless you're really into running by yourself. Now, that's why we meet up here at UFC. Because it's actually easier to live as Christians as a group. It's easier if we're meeting together, encouraging each other. And that's what, you know, we want to encourage you to be doing at uni, to come along to UFC, to get involved, for you to be helping us and us to be helping you, to be running the race that God's marked out before us. And that's why we've got that form in your bags. Have you got that getting involved form there? If you just want to, like, give us, you can have a look at it and see the different things that you can do there. But at least if you're here for the first time or if you don't get our email, just pop your name down on there with your contact details and we can send you out an email, just one email on Mondays during semester, and it just lets you know what's happening. There's other things you can get involved with there and I'll let you have a look at those and you can pop that into the red bucket. Look, it's 10:02, so we've got 10 minutes, but I'll finish up there and I'll just pray for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. And how it spells out really clearly how to live and warns us about the best way to live and encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus. We just pray that we will learn more about Jesus and how great he is and what a great example he is and how he leads us in the right way. And we just pray that this year UFC can really be a great witness on campus for you, and that we can encourage each other in the race. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.